Okay, this is Miracles Lesson 4, The Loaves and the Fishes. The lesson today is two stories of the multiplication of loaves and fishes. The feeding of the 5,000 is in all four Gospels. The feeding of the 4,000 is in Matthew and Mark only. In setting the stage for the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had just heard of John the Baptist's death and was trying to go off to pray. At the same time, the apostles are returning from their mission and reporting back the teachings and healings that have taken place in Jesus' name. The feeding of the 5,000 happens right before the walking on water miracles we heard about last week. In the feeding of the 4,000 story, Jesus is in the Gentile country and has had an encounter with a Canaanite woman of faith who calls out and asks for Jesus to heal her daughter. Jesus' response is that he was sent to the house of Israel and is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. The Canaanite woman's response was that even the dogs eat the scraps of the master's table. This exchange leads Jesus to feed the 4,000, signifying that God's salvation is for all creation. In praying with these scriptures, surprisingly, I did not focus on the feeding of the people. I was struck with Jesus' effort to try to go off to a deserted place to pray. He needed rest. He needed to grieve for his cousin. He needed to connect with his father. I want to focus on Mark's gospel because there's a distinct message in that gospel for me. To explain, I need to take you back to the beginning of chapter 6 in Mark. It's the rejection at Nazareth. He departed from there and came to his place, his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joses, and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. And Mark goes on to the mission of the 12. And this is Mark 6, 7 through 13. He went around to the villages in the vicinity teaching. He summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. No food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave from there. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. They drove out many demons and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. So Jesus is rejected by his hometown. He was able to teach at home and in the surrounding villages, but he could not perform miracles because of the lack of faith. So he turns to the apostles and commissions them to preach repentance and heal people. Reading on in the chapter, we come to John the Baptist's death. So Jesus has been rejected, is sad because of the death of his cousin, needs a break, goes off to a deserted place to pray. But when the apostles come back and start to report, well, let me read this from scripture. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in a boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. So Jesus knows the importance of going off alone to pray and rest so you can do it all over again. Interestingly, the people hear about this and follow them. And got to the place before them. So Jesus and the 12 are in a boat sailing to another spot, and people are running around the sea and arriving first. Jesus nor the 12 don't even have an opportunity to eat. But it says that Jesus sees the crowd and his heart was moved with pity. They were like sheep without a shepherd. The apostles want Jesus to dismiss everyone and let them find their own food. And Jesus turns around and says, "Why don't you feed them?" The apostles had just come back from rebuking demons, healing, preaching, repentance, and all in the name of Jesus. So they themselves saw miracles in the name of Jesus. But they go right back to, "Hey, I don't have any money to buy their food." And Jesus says, "Then what do you have?" And they look around and they find 5 loaves and 2 fish. In other words, very little to give. If I put myself in the place of the apostles, I can totally see why they acted the way they did. They were tired. They had very little to give. They were human. Those of you who have children, think back to when they were first born. For some of you, it could be years ago, and for others, maybe a few months ago. Every day, there was a demand. That child's survival rested on you. There were times when you just needed a break. You were tired, you had very little to give, but then the baby cries and you're moved with concern, so you get up and do what you have to do to take care of this little miracle of God. You may only be feeding that one little person, but your baby's life depends on it, just as my life depends on Jesus, the bread of life. When I apply this to my life, it is the way of ministry. Just as being a parent never stops, ministry never stops. There's always someone in need. There's always someone who needs baptism or reconciliation. There's always someone who needs healing or last rites. There's always someone who needs Eucharist or just a snack bag. There are times when I have very little to give, but if I call on the name of Jesus and fed by his Spirit, anything is possible. Last week, we had the funeral of a young man, 16 years old, who committed suicide. The family thought there would be about 200 attending. We know that when young people die, there seems to be more who attend, so the funeral committee planned for 250, and we printed off 400 programs. There were over 650 in attendance, with the majority of them being teens. In less than an hour, there was a multiplication of food and labor. We were able to do 2 grocery store trips, and we went from 3 people in the funeral ministry to 10 people in Kenny Hall kitchen, building all kinds of sandwiches, spreads, dips, quiches, and such. And we had enough left over to send 3 platters of food home with the family. It was a very difficult funeral with so much sadness for this young man. Though we did not know him, there were moments of grief and moments of prayer, but no possibility to go off to rest. At 1:30 in the afternoon, when all the dust had settled, I told my staff to go home. One staff member needed to update some things on the website. One had to prepare for a Stephen ministry session. One had to work on a new annulment training program. And I had to write this commentary. I told them to go home anyway. Ministry never stops. Being a parent never stops. And a shepherd must always keep watch of the sheep. As I look back over my ramblings here, I realize that I didn't talk about the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. I think maybe because I don't doubt that Jesus can perform miracles. He is fully divine. I think the real miracle is that in a moment of weariness and grief, in his humanness, he gave the people what he could. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to those gathered in his name.